Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, natural bodybuilding, bikini figure, men's physique fans? Good to see you guys again. It's that time of the week again, my favorite time of the week. We're limited to 30 minutes. We're going to get this one done and over with quickly. So we're just going to do a little review of the show. Then we're going to go into a hot topic. And then after that, we're going to talk about another hot topic by Dangerous Dog. Dangerous Dog is a hot topic. And then after that, we're going to talk about upcoming shows that you might want to put on your radar. So, without further ado, Dangerous Doug, he's one of the co-hosts here tonight. Dangerous Doug, you're there, right?
Of course. I am.
And we also got Andrea Castile coming in here tonight. Andrea was a judge on the panel with me at the Illinois State. There were five judges, and I thought we were all qualified judges in terms of eyeing more shows than the average person. So, let's just get right down to it, Andrea. We're going to start with... You know what? Why don't we just start with the lowest class? You got the results in front of you, don't you?
Yeah, I have them. What class do you want to talk about first?
Well, yeah, we don't want to talk about every single class. There were only really like three classes that were really pretty competitive where you had to really judge. So let me see. What's the first one on my radar here? Figure open, no. Although figure open was a pretty impressive because the girl that won the figure open was very impressive. She knew how to pose. She knew how to grace the stage. She's from Austria. Her name is Mirella. I don't know how to pronounce it. Dujakovic, I'll say. Mirella Dujakovic. And she's a qualified PNBA pro. Now, so look for her on the future stage. But she pretty much won that unanimously all across the board. One class we did have that was hard for me to judge anyway was the Bikini Divas. So let's go right into the Bikini Divas first, the open category. It was Stephanie Salas versus Catherine Lepine. They both had... They both looked great. They both had their own strengths. They both had their flaws, but they were pretty equal. One didn't dominate the other, so we really had to work on this one. We made them hit a few extra poses that I normally wouldn't have made them hit just because I had to see from every angle who should really take first place, because really you couldn't argue which one took first. I personally chose Stephanie Salas to go first place, but I really had to work at that, at getting to that finalization. So what was your take on that class, Andrea?
I went the same way, and my reasons are very specific. On the rear poses, I am a stickler for shoulders over hips. The posing really wasn't that bad. I mean, I'll give her credit. The posing for both ladies wasn't that bad. One, she could have used a stronger front pose. The other one could have used a stronger rear pose. And, you know, for any of the women that are, you know, worried about hiding a flaw, don't accentuate it. Hide it. Please, hide it.
Hide that mother. Yeah, one thing I noticed about Catherine, she ended up taking second place, was her color. She could have really, because even if you have a light, if you're only lightly tanned, under those lights, your definition is going to disappear. And I know people tend to neglect things like color and pose, and they think they can just bring the best physique to the stage and win. But no, it all comes, and there were some classes decided today just because of posing and color. We're going to talk about that later too. But Catherine could have used more color. But when you say shoulders over hips, you just mean don't bend over too much, because these girls bend over too much and you don't like that.
Yeah, I really don't like to see the front from the back. I like you to be straight up and down, arch
straight
that lower back.
Don't stick that butt out at all. Okay, are they supposed to cross
because,
their legs, or what do you think about that?
Depends. If you can cross your legs and stay straight up and down, all the more power to you. But if you're going to cross your legs and then bend over, I'm not into it. One small, slight adjustment, if your suit is not glued, you're showing the wrong thing to the judges and the audience.
Yeah. All right. So, in other words, no porn star pose. Don't bend over too much. Shoulders over hips is more graceful. And a lot of the female judges do like that. I see it's pretty... all the way across the board, a lot of the female judges look for that. And that's why we have female judges on the panel, because we want all kinds of different eyes. We wouldn't want a female of all men, because men wouldn't think of some things that the women would think of. And Andrea is a specialty, and her specialization is bikini and figure. And that's another reason why she was on the judging panel, because we had the bodybuilding set, but we brought Andrea in for bikini and figure. So I think we got that one right, though. So Stephanie Salas, I'm not sure if she won unanimously or not. I'd like to find out. I know I voted for her, so you voted for her. But it was a close call either way. So we had a good men's teenage bodybuilder. He was in class all by himself, but this kid was pretty symmetrical. His hamstrings matched his thighs. His legs matched his upper body. He was 17 years old. Jesus Velazquez is a guy to be on the lookout for in the IMBA, PNBA in future years. Let's go to the men's grandmasters class. This one was pretty interesting to me. You had Martin Komar versus Alan Kirsch. Now, Alan Kirsch has a lot of muscle. He's been working out for years. I mean, this guy, he's done a lot of things. He's won a lot of shows. He's gotten a lot of good titles to his name. I'm not sure if this was actually on his radar or not to compete this weekend. It might have been a last-minute decision. He was a last-minute entry. I think he was the very last entry. And I think he just wanted to come in, win the show, and go riding up on his white, shiny horse. And plans didn't exactly go that way. He ran into a guy named Martin Komar. Now, I'll tell you something. Alan Kirsch did have more muscle. If it was a muscularity-only contest, Alan Kirsch would have won. But his color was way off. Okay, I like you a lot, Alan. Anybody of Dennis Durkin's is a good guy. You know what I'm saying? But you still got to bring the color to a bodybuilding stage. It was obvious you didn't practice your posing because when I went through the second round and the pre-judging, I told these guys I was going to make them work. It was a small show. But you know what? If I'm head judging, you guys are going to work, and this is what you do. You come to compete. You come to pose. You should practice your poses good enough that you don't get tired at pre-judging. And that's what Alan Kirsch did. He got tired. He couldn't flex as long. Went through the second round. He wasn't happy about that. I think he was only joking, but he was still tired nonetheless. And he just wasn't holding his legs tight. And Martin Komar was poised out there. I mean, Martin brought the color, and his legs weren't as good as Alan's, but they were good enough to overcome everything else that Alan had over Martin. So since Martin knew how to pose, he wasn't getting tired. He was just staying graceful. He was staying confident. He kept a straight look on his face. And he was just poised on stage. And the posing and the color is a big reason why Martin got the edge over Alan, I believe. And he was just a better poser. Plus, he had enough muscle to overcome Alan's muscularity. So that was my take on the Grandmasters 50 to 59-year-old class. Martin was the guy in the flag trunks. Who did you have in first place in that class, Andrea?
I had it the same way. Stage presence threw me off on that one. And, if you're on stage, I don't know if it was too much pre-workout, too much caffeine, nerves. I'm not quite sure. But for me, it was a little bit of bizarre behavior. But he has a lot of muscle. I would have liked to have seen more color, and I would have liked to have seen a little bit more conditioning. I put him in second place because it was a little bit of too bizarre for me.
Yeah, and there are a lot of shows that Alan Kirsch would get in and win. Even if there were like 5 or 6, 7 guys in that class, Alan Kirsch would usually do good against anybody in place at the top or top half of the class. But Martin Komar, I think, was just too poised and confident. Plus, he brought a good package. His legs
didn't
quite match Alan Kirsch's from the front, but they were good enough to overcome Alan's superior size in the legs. And then his upper body was good. He was symmetrical from front to back, at least. And, so that's what got Martin to win. So let's go into the men's open division. This was an interesting class because this is a classic matchup of size versus conditioning. Now, I seen Meshach in the lobby earlier in the day. But before I actually seen Meshach, I seen what I thought was Meshach, and I look, I'm like, no, that's not Meshach. Meshach's not that tall. And I, did a double take. I'm like, man, that's got to be his brother. And sure enough, I didn't even know Meshach had a brother, let alone had a beast of a brother. And I knew right away, you're Meshach's brother, you're probably going to win the whole show. And I could tell by the way he looked in clothes, this guy came to play. His name is Michael Otiano, and he's going to be a serious threat to the natural low. He's from Africa. Okay, he's got to go home now. He's been here, I think, for a couple of months. He came here just to kind of hang out in the States with his brother and Tiana. And he has to go home now. He's going to get another visa to do what he has to do, but he will be back. And it sounds like he's going to be back this year. And I think he has a sight set on the Natural Olympia. But check this out. Michael and Meshach have competed together up to 15 times. And he's never beat Meshach ever. But once Meshach moved out of town, this guy finally won Mr. Kenya. And he also won Musclemania from Africa. So this guy's been around for a little while. This guy was going to be hard to beat. And I don't want to ramble on too much. We got a lot to talk about with this class. But he was going against the conditioning of Valentine Tambosi, who Valentine's done a lot of shows, but he was just never able to get quite conditioned enough to ever win. So that's why he goes out, calls Cliff Wilson. When it comes to conditioning, I don't think anybody has Cliff. There's a lot of good coaches out there, but Cliff's known for conditioning. And even if his athletes aren't the most massive in the show, they're pretty much 99.99999% of the time the most conditioned in the show. And that was the case of Valentine Tambosi. When you judged it, you gave the conditioning part to Valentine for sure. The mass obviously had to go to Michael Otiano. So that's when it comes down to that fine line. And let's talk about that fine line for a second. Since I've been rambling on all, you have the mic for a second. But take over and let's talk about your take on this class.
Well, initially when they all came out, I was like, okay, PMBA likes size over conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Typically that's been the protocol from the past. They're known for size in their male bodybuilders, full muscle bellies. And I took a good look and I said, okay, in one hand I have a great amount of conditioning, but there's still muscle mass there. And in the other hand, I have a whole lot of muscle mass, but not perfect conditioning. And so then for me, I started saying, okay, where does symmetry fall into place? And I scrutinized front to back, top to bottom, over and over as you directed them. And ultimately, I went with the smaller guy. Even though typically PNBA goes for mass. And my vote came down to an X-frame and symmetry.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a close one. I mean, I was a little scared of that one because, I mean, I'm a mass guy myself, and I always think to myself, when it's really that close and it's mass versus conditioning, I always think to myself, who would do better at the next level? So if these guys were to both get the pro cards and went to the Natural Olympia, how would they do? And I myself, I see Michael as a top five competitor in the Natural Olympia. I already predicted that if he does the Natural O this year. But he's a true mass freak who can give Waddington a run for his money even. I'm not saying he's going to go out and beat Waddington this year. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he's going to be hanging with Waddington, and he will get judged against Waddington and called out with Waddington in the big names. Mark my words on that. The Valentine, I think he's going to be good because even if he stays with Cliff Wilson, I mean, you're right. He did have the symmetry. Front to back, top to bottom, because the only thing Michael was really missing, he had the size, he had the hamstrings, he had everything else, but his back was, like, obviously not as conditioned and as confined and as tight as everything else was. It was like, man, how do you get all this stuff around here tight, but then your back's not tight? I told him that. I pointed out to him. So I said, if you can work on that and just bring that together, you'll be a threat to the Natural Olympia title, and we'll see what takes place in November. We're going to talk more about that later on. But he said he was going to work on it. But he had the hamstrings. He had tree trunk thighs. I mean, you just don't see guys with this much mass come out very often. So I think it was a 4-1 win. So you chose Valentine. The rest of the four judges chose Michael. And like you said, I think in other organizations, they would have maybe won with the most conditioned, but perhaps in the PNBA, you got guys like Kiyoshi, you got Rico, you got Michael Waddington now. They do like their muscle, and that's kind of why classic bodybuilding is coming big now, too. So the smaller guys can go to classic bodybuilding now, and that's going to be a new trend in the months and years to come. But so we got that out of the way now. So let's talk about this. Now, you've seen Michael's credentials. He's already Mr. Kenya. He came all the way from Africa pretty much just to compete in this show. On his radar. He knew that's what he was going to do. He's a Muscle Mania champion from Africa. He's got the credentials. And really, just by looking at him, you can just tell he doesn't even really belong in the amateur show. He belongs to go straight to the pros. But traditionally, you got to win the overall at a bodybuilding show to get your pro card. I get that, and I totally understand. It was already a small show. We didn't have a lot of guys in the class. I think there were just three guys in the class. And Michael got his pro card because he got the win there. But you could look at him and just tell that he belongs on a pro stage. And Valentine was the same thing. You know, Valentine looked like a pro to me, too. He's better than a lot of pros out there. I mean, if Valentine were to compete in the Natural Olympia, he'd find himself fighting for a top 15 spot. He'd be up there somewhere, anywhere from 8th, I think, to 15th right now if he were to do something like pretty soon, perhaps. Because he was better than a lot of those guys, too. So Valentine's ready for the pro stage. Whether or not, there were enough guys in the class or not, Denny has the eye. Now, Denny's been doing this longer than I think any other head of any organization, and he's at least been to more shows. Denny's crazy. He goes to like 40 shows a year, and he's been doing this every single year for years on end. So he knows a pro when he sees one, which is why he decided to give that second pro card out. Because they just both look like pros. And I'll tell you what, I know it's not traditional, but typically you don't run into guys like Michael Otieno. Okay, so he should have been already in the pro ranks. And when a guy like Michael Otieno enters a show, it kind of like, how can I put it? I don't want to say the wrong word here, but it's kind of like there's no hope for anybody else to win the pro card. Might as well just go home now, not even finish because Michael's got the pro card. And that's how dominant I think Michael was in this show, with the exception of Valentine. I mean, he didn't dominate Valentine. That Valentine held his own against Michael. But everybody else, nobody else had a chance, and that was all there. So Michael belongs in there, and Valentine looked like a pro too. So Denny made, and only Denny can make this decision. Okay, he's the head of the organization. Nobody else can make this decision. He felt that since Valentine looked like a pro anyway, and he was already up there, and he was holding his own against Michael Otieno anyway, he belongs at the at Nashville Olympia. Now, so what? It's going to add to the prize money in the pro division. And also, if you don't like it, well, then maybe start your own organization. This is Denny's organization. He's got the experience. He's got the biggest amateur show in all of natural bodybuilding. He can get 70 competitors to fly from Australia just to compete in the Nashville Olympia. So when you can do something like that, you can make your own rules too. But Denny decided these two guys both belong to the pro ranks. And on top of that, it's just going to add prize money to the pro division. So there's nothing really to complain about. It's not like Denny would have just handed a guy a pro card if he felt he wasn't ready. He felt Valentine was ready, and Denny's got the eye for it. He's been doing this longer than anybody else, and he felt he belonged to the Nashville, and that's why he gave away two pro cards. And I don't really think anything's wrong with that. What do you think about that, Andrea?
For me personally, it's not my call. If somebody doesn't like it, don't compete in the organization. If you don't think it's fair, talk to the head of the organization. Things can't get hashed out on Facebook. If you don't like it, go to them. You know, I'm for the sport as a whole, not necessarily an organization. So every organization has their own rules, regulations. I'm trying to help people figure that out. And ultimately, it comes down to each individual org. If you don't like it, don't compete there or take it up with the person in charge. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and let me tell you one more thing real quick. This was 22 competitors in the state of Illinois. Okay, Denny and Diana were in California. They didn't have to come down for the show. They could have even canceled the show if they wanted to. When they knew the numbers were going to be low, 2 weeks out, whatever we were, they could have canceled it, but they said, nope, the show must go on. And it's not always about the how big the shows are. It's about the gems you find at these small shows. And we found some real gems tonight. That Figure Open winner, Valentine Tambosi, and Michael Otieno, those are three people you're going to see compete and do well at the pro level with. So it's a small show. We got three competitors who are going to be here and make some noise in the year to come. And where was I? Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's touch on physique.
What do you want to do with physique? Oh, that. Yeah, you know what? Actually, I got a little point. We got 13 more minutes left. I got something we can say about physique, too, because that was a tough class to work. There were four competitors in that class. The guy who got first place, Freddie Medina, that's who I gave it to. And nobody else. There were some good competitors up there, but he was the standout. And I think he had first place, and I didn't even change my mind the entire time. How did you have it go down?
I actually had him in second because he could not do a rear double bicep to show his back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he looks good from the front. He had some nice lats. He had the look. He had the, I mean, from the face to the abs. But once he turned around, he fell apart for me in posing, and I docked him for it. Now, the one person that did surprise me, so I had Kevin that took second place. I had him in first, so I had those two switched. It was hard for me when it came to Steven, because in the open, I would have liked him to have just been a little bit leaner.
Mm-hmm.
And then in fourth place was William. Now that was the older gentleman, if I'm not mistaken. He had a phenomenal physique, but he kind of mixed in bodybuilding poses and men's physique poses.
Yeah.
And that hurt him in my eyes.
Well, which one was the one with the glasses? Was that Kevin or Steven?
That was the guy that took third, Steven.
Third. Okay, see, that's what I thought. Because I had William, I actually had William in third over Steven. Steven had more muscle, but he was just soft. I felt he was soft.
Yes.
He couldn't pose. He looked like he was confused. Every time the judges called the pose, he was like looking at the competitors next to him to see what he had to do. So he just looked lost on stage, and that's one of the reasons why I docked him. And William Lapine was an excellent poser. He was the best poser up there. Best poser up there.
Yeah.
His back was really conditioned.
Well,
didn't have a lot of muscle in the front, but he could pose.
Sometimes.
Well, what?
But sometimes he was doing half bodybuilding poses and half men's physique poses, the way that he was holding
yeah.
his arm.
That was a tough class.
I was just lucky
to get first place, right?
So those two, I think top two could have gone either way down the judging panel, and I think the bottom two
yeah.
could have gone either way down the judging panel. But I think
about
consistently across the board, the top two were the top two and the bottom two were the bottom two.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I had it. Yeah, cause the only dog fight in that one was third and fourth place. I had first and second set myself. All right, well, we came this far, so might as well talk about the Professional Men's Bodybuilding Open now. First place, Poyden Kajapev. He went up against Brandon Lurio, the popular Brandon Lurio. Brandon Lurio ended up getting a bus poser later on. Boyden got the PNBA shield, and I had Boyden in first place the whole time. Brandon was a good competitor. I felt some, there were people that thought they've seen Brandon look better. I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe more conditioned possibly, but not far off, but I've definitely never seen him. I mean, he put on some muscle. That's what I'm trying to say. I thought he made progress in a good way because it's never too bad when you put on some size, and he's in the pro division now. So he was up against Boyden Kajapev, but Boyden was, I think, just too much for Brandon to overcome. He had the mass, he had the conditioning, he was a good poser, and I think he's got his sights set on the Natural Olympia. So what was your take on that class?
I had it the same way, unfortunately. Hopefully Brandon will take a look at maybe some of the pictures and see where he was losing his legs, and that would be by pushing his pelvis forward, and his quads just dropped out. But other times, no, Brandon was able to hold his own. He didn't have the same size of muscle mass, but conditioning kind of fell apart because he did do classic physique earlier on and then went in up against a very thick pro men's bodybuilder. But if he could change some poses, he'd be spot on.
But Brandon always puts on a show. He was having fun. He was on stage a few times. You know that he lightens up the mood in the back room. So everybody's nervous and Brandon's in the locker room. He lightens up the tension in the room, that's for sure. Let's get Dangerous Doug on here before it gets too dangerous up in this mother. We got 9 minutes to go. Doug, what do you got to talk about today?
Yeah, so I talked to Benny and Diana for about an hour tonight, and they're actually putting together a trainer's appreciation program, which is pretty big because it's the first time that there's an actual formal program in place. I'll have the specifics later on this week. I'll put it on the North American Facebook page once it's live, and I'm sure they'll have it up on naturalbodybuilding.com. But how it was explained to me is that if a trainer brings 5 competitors to the show, they'll get X amount of dollars. If they bring 10, they'll get X amount of dollars, you know, 15 and so on and so forth. But which I'm sure there's going to be quite a bit of money going out, especially with the amount of trainers in our area that have a lot of competitors that want to do a show at some point in time. You know, they kind of piloted it a little bit. And I know a lot of shows do, you know, like the Chi-Town, Joe does the trainer's appreciation, which is that badass axe or sword. They recognized Cliff. Cliff was out doing the QA session, and they had a plaque made up for him. Anthony, the trainer, brought in a few competitors, so he got a $200 monetary compensation. But it's going to be pretty big only because it's the first formal program that's put in place that's going to be live pretty much immediately. So we'll have a little more specifics, but they did want me to mention that tonight.
Yeah, that's good stuff because that's something that they don't have to do, and that's something that most promoters don't do. You know, so just give a check for $200 to a trainer who didn't expect it. That's a good night of eating and drinking after a night of good compete. You know what I'm saying? So that's good stuff, and I think it's a good program. So we'll see what takes place in the months to come. But this is going to be a hot year for natural bodybuilding. We've got plenty to talk about. So make sure you guys stay tuned to this podcast. You know, we'll have this a couple times a month, or whenever there's something to talk about, we'll just throw it up. So be on the lookout for it. But let's talk about some upcoming shows then. Let's see. The first one on my radar is the Philip Ricardo Legends Classic. That's coming up on July 22nd. There's a seminar with Rico, of course. That starts at 3 o'clock. This division, the one thing about the IMBA, PMBA, is they have classes for everybody. They even got kids' fitness classes in here. They got a class if you have a lot of tattoos. It's called the Ink Class. They got an Angels class. It's kind of like Victoria's Secret's runway models with feathers on type of deals. It's like my favorite class. I love watching the Angels class. Anyway, but check this out. The most exciting part, I think, of the Philip Ricardo Legends Classic is whoever gets first place in the pro division will get a plane ticket to the Natural O. Okay? So first place pro, plane ticket to the O. that's good. That's a reason to go compete at the Philip Carter Legends Classic on July 22nd. Check it out. Of course,
you is that just bodybuilding or – hey, Mike, is that every category or just bodybuilding?
For the – I'm not sure how many pro classes he has. It just says first place pro, plane ticket to the O. So I'm probably the biggest class, you know. I would just – for more information, get on Rico's website or check him out on Facebook and see what he's got. You know, I got the show poster around here somewhere, but I'll check that out in a second here. But nonetheless, July 29th is the North American, of course. That's going to be at West Layton High School, not the East Layton High School, West Layton High School. That's also qualified for the Natural O. And all this stuff leads up to November 9th through 12th, the Natural O. And you can win a Harley-Davidson at the Natural O this time around. Doug, do you have any shows coming up?
This weekend, Leafs putting on that Michigan Roar. Ooh. That's going to be a good one. And then the week after, you got his Diva Classic and the Heart of America is on the 6th. And that leads up to the Chi-Town on the 13th. So it's going to be a big few weeks here for bodybuilding.
Well, I'll tell you what, bodybuilding season has begun, and I am excited. There's a lot of things going on. I'm all fired up this year, more so than I have been in a couple of years past. I'll be on the lookout for more of these podcasts. We'll keep you guys updated with the latest and greatest and what shows are going on. But there are a couple of competitors I want to talk about. I'll talk about one or two. We got 5 minutes left. I just want to give a shout-out to be on the lookout for. We got Shauna Cat coming at you. She's going to be the Diva Classic. She was a WNBF pro back in the day. She was a pro in the WNBF back in, like, 2004. And she's just getting back into competing. And instead of bodybuilding, though, she's going the figure route. So be on the lookout for her to bring a professional level of poise and confidence to the stage. And then you also got Katie Schiller. That's another girl to keep an eye on. She's trained by Dusty Olson, Renovation Training, the Reno Clan, they call it. But this guy has put together quite the client track record over the past 2 years, and now that these two have connected, I'm expecting an already impressive physique to reach that next level. So Katie has got to be one of the favorites going into this show. Andrea, do you have any competitors you think we should be looking out for coming up soon?
No, not competitors, but, you know, I'm putting together that website. It's drugfreeathleticphysiques.org. It has all of the organizations, show listings, tips. If you need a posing coach, there's some references, photographers. It's all about natural bodybuilding. And I think, you know, people are going to be able to see really the vast size that natural bodybuilding has.
And where do they go for that information?
It's drugfreeathleticphysiques.org.
Yeah, you put together a really good website. That's good stuff. We only got 2 minutes left here. I want to get a couple more shout-outs out there to some competitors, unless you guys got something to add. Doug, anybody else you want to add to that list before I go on with mine?
No, go ahead.
All right, well, we got this Holly Jo Boucher. Okay, this is the girl that won the Diva Classic Novice Figure overall back in 2016, and she also won the NPC Iron Viking Novice overall title last year, so she's not a novice anymore. All right, she's going to be in the Open Division full-time now, so when you see her on the stage, check her out in the Open Division. This girl's got one of the most balanced physiques we saw at last year's Diva. She's been working with local prep coach Karen Johnson, who just happens to also be one of the top posing coaches in the region, right? So if Holly can put all the pieces together from her physique to her presentation, look for her to be a real big, I'd say she's a force to reckon with, for sure. And then you got you know, that's all we got time for now. But nonetheless, be on the lookout for the latest and greatest and what's going on in natural bodybuilding. Comment on our page and on a thread if you have any hot topics you want us to discuss, or feel free to call in next time. Just put this number on your list. Get ready to write it down. When you want to call into the show and ask a question, it's area code 425-292-4444. Again, that's area code 425-292-4444. Whenever the show is live, feel free to call in. So that's about all she wrote, bodybuilding, figure bikini, and men's physique fans. Andrea, you got any last words?
No, I wish everybody a safe prep season and all the health they can handle.
Doug, we got 30 seconds. What do you got for us?
Bring it. We're starting the year off pretty good. I want to see a lot of shredded bodies out there.
All right, and yeah, Denny's putting a lot of throwers on the stage, so if you don't like the way we do it, you better learn to like it real quick, because it's the best thing going around today. Woo!